жовті прапори. Сьогодні в моді наші кольори. Вже позаду час, час не втрач. Відсвяткуємо разом кожен м'яч. Віва Україна! Віва Україна!
Gold is Soccer Show. Mondays at 8 a.m. Valley Free Radio.
Congratulations, world. You are listening to Goal, the soccer show, Valley Free Radio, WXOJ, LP 103.3 FM, Northampton, Massachusetts, streaming at valleyfreeradio.org. Each week, Goal offers an unforgiving mixture of incompetence and magic. And it's a little known fact, but of all soccer radio shows / podcasts in the world, this one has the highest Tugend Index, a distinction of which we are incredibly proud and also entirely unaware. Check our blog at soccershow.blogspot.com or subscribe to the podcast through the blog or the iTunes store. Finally, you can email the show at soccershow@gmail.com. With me in the studio today, in order of on-air comments regarding death, violence, and or blood, are our German correspondent and ambassador to Tugend himself, Frank Sliegers.
Hello, and listeners.
Yes, Frank. Next, we have our Rocky Mountain correspondent and resident anarcho-syndicalist, Nick Stocks.
Hello. How are you guys?
I'm all right. Say that again, Nick.
Hello.
All right. Fantastic. Just making sure the levels are good there. And finally, our British correspondent and all-around footballing anorak, it is Eddie Kennedy.
Come on in, everybody.
All right. Fantastic. On the show today, gentlemen, you will be happy to know, and our listening audience know, we have some special features on this DVD of love.
It's a special show.
It is.
A special show deserves special features.
It says right, we do have some special features coming your way. We have Eddie Kennedy. We have the first big feature for the day will be just handing the show over, and I'm not sure this is entirely a good idea. We're just going to hand the show over, though, to Eddie Kennedy. 10 minutes.
10 minutes. I've got a speeches and pages.
Yeah, 10 minutes of Eddie Kennedy, and I don't even know.
Wow.
I can't say I know exactly what's going to happen.
And he wants to take over.
Yeah, well, he might take over. I think that it'll be an example. You know, it'll sort of be that weird meeting ground between pleasure and pain.
You may well be.
That's more than expect.
Normally pay-per-view websites for things like that.
Yeah. I can get most of that stuff for free. You just talk to me after the show.
No problem.
Then we move on to another episode, another installment of Ask Frank.
Yeah, I'm looking forward for this.
You feel prepared for that, Frank?
Yes, always.
In every way, okay.
Always tuned.
and then last, we have a visit from the Soccer Stalker, once again. She's going to call in my mom, and she's got some questions to ask us. Some of a factual nature, looking for factual answers.
Similar to last week's,
but I also suggested that she, well, I suggested two things, is that she open it up to some Anglo-Germanic relations.
And that'd be cool.
That'd be very interesting.
Yes.
And then it goes back a long way.
Yeah. And then in addition, that might be more related to opinion, so that you know because last week when it was based merely in fact, it just took each question to Eddie about 5 seconds to answer. He was like, next,
he's tired. It was bringing them up.
That's right. So we want to challenge him in a different way, get his opinion on some things. Now, of course, what we've been doing the last few weeks, and we're going to do again right now, is this is when I offer up the jelly of the show, That's Roman for, or not Roman, it's Italian for report card. And this appears in a lot of the Italian dailies. So I'm going to offer a rating of everyone's performance from the last week. So first up is in fact Eddie Kennedy. And Eddie, you got a pretty good debut score, a pretty good debut effort.
Thank you very much.
In particular, your use of the phrase the short and curlies.
The short and curlies,
yes. As much beloved, especially by Sean Casey, who's not with us.
So loved, he's not here.
I think you also said that someone had you by the monkeys.
Couldn't give a monkeys.
All right. Well, fair enough. And in general, from the Goal of Soccer Show community, you've been getting rave reviews.
Have I really?
Yeah, in fact, we've gotten, I think Nick can attest to that.
I can attest to that.
On many different fronts. And in addition, in the mail, I've been receiving many pairs of ladies' undergarments. It just says 2 Eddie on it. I don't know if you don't want your girlfriend to hear that. Yeah, that's right. He's got the ring on his finger. But you have become definitely the Goal of Soccer Show sex symbol, like it or not. Moving on, Nick Stocks, 6.0 solid performance.
Solid. What was my score?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, sorry, 6.5, 7.
Well, which was it?
It kind of...
7.
6.
Yeah, okay.
Well, average is 6. That's what we said.
The average, okay.
Average is 6. You're 6.5, 7.
Okay.
That's a good score. Yeah, Nick Stocks, 6. But solid performance.
Yeah.
And Nick Stocks doesn't need much more than that, you know, to keep him hungry. He just needs, you know, his daily bread. And as long as you forgive his trespasses.
as I forgive those.
Yeah, exactly. You forgive those who trespass, do you? Sean Casey, you went 5.5, maybe down to a 5. And I'll tell you why. I thought on the show itself, good show, I thought. Pretty good show. His eyes glazed over a little bit when we talked about soccer, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see it because I wasn't here, but I heard it, and what was he in the
studio? Yeah, he was in the studio. Now, first, he left early, which I didn't get a good score. Now, wait, I will say the Lady Samurai comment, Lady Samurai douche. That was good. But he left early, which points off right there. I mean, you can't even finish
the game.
Yeah, the full game.
You come late, soon?
A little late, typical Sean Casey fashion. And in addition, he had some midweek comments to the press that have leaked to the press that I think are not necessarily good for team camaraderie. He says he's not sure if he wants to do the show anymore.
Ooh.
Yeah. He says he's not sure if he's soccer show material.
Well, a wise man knows his own limitations.
Yeah.
And if he feels that he can't contribute in the way he feels that would give that extra something, then any manager will tell you that you don't keep a player who don't want to play for you.
Well, I know, but you know, I don't know what to say about it. As the captain of this perverted little ship, I feel
I'm a good ship kinky.
Yeah.
Use your managerial skills.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm about as good as Stuart Pearce is in that regard.
Well, that's about something. Okay, really, don't it? Fine player, but he's not having much luck as a manager.
No, he's not. He's not doing much at all right now. We did get a couple of emails midweek. One was from Eamon Fitch, our Pacific Northwest correspondent, who was very excited about the Champions League draw.
Which I have here with me.
Oh, good. And in particular, he's excited about the fixture between Roma and Manchester United. As a neutral, more from a neutral's perspective.
Okay.
Maybe in your 10 minutes of, pleasure, yeah, you can mention. But I don't know if you saw the goal by Mancini against Lyon.
Oh, yes, they did, with the multiple stepovers.
Yeah, it's kind of...
That was a good goal.
Nice goal.
That was a good goal.
Now, also, Goal the Soccer Show, we have a MySpace account, which I don't really advertise a lot, but Soccer Show, MySpace account. But we did receive two messages on the MySpace account. One is a friend request from a woman named Cordelia. However, I couldn't visit her profile because I need to download a special program to view it because there's adult content on it. But thanks to Cordelia, if you're listening, sorry I didn't download that program. And we also got one from a 20-year-old female named Sharonda, who had some terrific information about debt consolidation. So,
very helpful
as well. Yeah. So,
fans galore.
I'm still in the wild on something.
No, actually, I just received an email this morning, too, from Carlo Antonicelli.
Oh.
I don't know what... Nick, what should I say to him? What should I say to him?
Well, what was in the mail first?
Well, he said, just sitting here in Rome. No emails. No one sent me any emails.
I really need that. I need to get on board with that. I need to do that. That's true.
Yeah, to-do list. You gotta put that in Nick's Talk's to-do list.
I owe Carlo an email from 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
That I have forgotten about until now.
Yeah, because...
So we can continue our conversation.
When you
listen to this later, I'm sorry, and I will get it to you.
He was a important part of the show 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah. Well, he did send an email in Italian, but... I can't really read it that good. Maybe you help me for him.
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Shout-outs? I have a shout-out to Cyprus, the island nation of Cyprus, who have now become part of the Goal of Soccer Show family.
Excellent. Congratulations, Cyprus.
He's good, yeah. Exactly. Congratulations to them. Anyone else have a shout-out they'd like to... No?
My memory is burning right now. I have so much... I had so many ideas. I think this English-German thing would be a cool thing today. So I want to talk a little bit about violence again. And,
always about violence.
And that Blitzkrieg thing that seems to be very important in Britain.
Well, if you want to talk about the Second World War, I want to chat with you about the Second World War.
Easy, guys. Maybe not have to explain you for
I can just sing a song called Two World Wars and One World Cup, you know.
Did you have...
I have a shout. Yep, first of all, say hello to the good lady wife listening at home. Two, all being well, providing everybody's fit. Valley Free Radio will have some good publicity this Saturday night.
This Saturday night?
Yes. You may be aware that there is a band in the area called the Big Bad Bollocks, fronted by the singer, DJ, Mr. John Allen. Do you know the band?
Well,
he does a St. Patrick's Day show.
I did not know that. This sounds terrific.
Well, basically, he's from my part of the world. He has a show scheduled to be at the Iron Horse this Saturday night for St. Patrick's Day. And Valley Free Radio has one of its presenters comparing the show.
Oh, fantastic.
Namely yours truly.
Yeah. Yeah, Eddie, I would like to amend something you just said. I'm not sure that anyone is from your part of the world.
Yes, we are. We're all over the world.
All right.
Yeah. No, John's from neighboring county.
Oh, that's fantastic.
He's from Derbyshire.
He's right? Not Congleton, Cheshire.
No, he's not Congleton. He's from Derbyshire.
Oh,
he's
sure.
Next county.
Right. And Derbyshire is the name of a goal scorer from this weekend.
He certainly is. Scored the second goal at Big City.
That's right.
Which pleased me immensely.
And now, Mr. Nick Stockton, any shout-outs?
No, not whatsoever.
No, you don't care. Okay. Well, I thought if we had 1 minute, we could just sing. I would like to sing the praises of an actual soccer game that happened this weekend before we go to a quick break. And in particular, that was Barcelona versus Real Madrid.
Cracking game.
Yeah.
Absolutely cracking game.
There's almost too much to say about it in such a short space of time. But I wonder if you guys thought it was hyperbole. If Ray Hudson was using hyperbole when he said not only that this wasn't a game for the record books, it should be packaged up and sent to the Martians because it was so good.
He's a typical Geordie on a different planet. Oh, he really is. He brings a new dimension to commentary that, quite frankly, I have not seen before. And I say hats off to him, really, because it makes it entertaining.
Oh, definitely, yeah. He is definitely... His mind is open to his inner genius, and his inner genius comes out.
You don't know what the hell's open day, but he's done very well.
Do you guys have any particular memories of the game that stood out for you?
Lionel Messi. I thought it was outstanding.
Pretty ridiculous, wasn't he, on that right wing and scoring 3 goals, obviously.
He is one of the most exciting prospects in the game today.
Kind of that Argentine team is kind of scary, I think, with some of the talent, especially some of the young guys they have. Because that game alone featured, in addition to Messi, Higuain and Fernando Gago, both young Argentines.
Well, they've produced good footballers for decades, the Argentines.
Yeah.
They will continue to do so.
Now, as an England supporter, you must be a big Argentine fan, isn't that right?
I like Argentine players when they play for Manchester United, because then we get them, they become naturalised. So the Republic of Mancunia.
All right, well, I'm sure this is I just advise our listeners to stay tuned, because I think by the end, some blood will be spilled of the show. In the meantime, you're listening to Gold Sharks. Listen to
Gold Swan, my damn thing this year.
You are listening to Gold Soccer Show. I'm Valley for Radio. When we return, we're going to hand the show over to Eddie Kennedy, and who knows what's going to happen. Thank you for listening to Gold. We'll be right back.
You're looking for trouble? You come to the right place. Hi, welcome to the Self Defense Show. Every Thursday morning, 9 to 10 a.m.
I was born standing up.
We'll have martial arts guests, self-defense success stories, and we'll have you talking with me, Marla Beattie, about safety in the street, serenity in the woods, and sanctity in your own home here on Valley Free Radio every Thursday, 9 to 10 a.m.
Trouble in the Middle East. Peace talks of a massive military increase. Landmark legislation in the nation makes it criminal to think.
Does hearing the news get you down? Would you like to know how our struggles for social justice and peace are succeeding? Actually, we're making great strides toward a just and peaceful world. Tune in to Good News to hear some of these stories, along with songs to help keep our spirits up. Tune in on 2nd and 4th Thursdays, 6 to 7 p.m.
You're back to Gold Soccer Show Radio. I'm Valley for Radio. You might be listening to podcasts. Wherever you are, God bless you, because you're about to listen to 10 Minutes of Magic, because it's the 10 minutes of the show when we just turn things over to Eddie Kennedy and let him talk about, bring up whatever issues are haunting his beautiful brain.
Absolutely. First of all, footballers, are they confident of their own ability? Are they well-centered individuals who know their own mind, or are they just egomaniacs? I refer to something that I saw on the BBC's, BBC Football's website. John Terry, as you know, the captain of Chelsea and the captain of England, he is in contract negotiations at the moment with Chelsea, as they're known as throughout the world, outside of the West End of London. He wants a 10-year contract, and he wants a guarantee that he will be the highest paid player always. For those 10 years. Now, yes, it's a short career, relatively speaking. But, is his brain addled by magic fed by his agent's head? I'd like to throw that open to the panel. As I say, all the best talk shows. What do you think of the modern-day footballer? Should he get as much as he can, bearing in mind that he knows that the owner of the club is not exactly short of a penny or two? Or should he be more realistic and think, well, the fans do help to pay a proportion of his wages? What do you think, Chaps? Do you think a footballer should get what is the equivalent of nearly $250,000 a week?
Well, I think I know where Nick Stocks goes down.
start.
No, please, I want to chuck this out.
That's a great gimmick.
Well, I mean, in my opinion, the really unpleasant part is hearing about it, because as a football fan, you never want to hear. It becomes more and more painful the more and more you hear stories about money being tied to it, whether it's because of the owners, whether it's because of the players. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think that typically I would side with the players in any case. Although, what if, a hypothetical question to go along with yours.
Okay.
What if another player in England mm-hmm. says that he wants to stipulate as part of his contract that he's the highest paid?
Exactly. Somebody might say, well, if he's getting, I think he wants something like £120,000, £130,000 a week. It's a potential for anarchy.
Yeah. But I want to hear what Nick Stock says.
I'm fairly linked there, of course. It sort of reminds me a lot of the stuff that I was reading about how baseball, the baseball union works, and how a lot of the players are sort of prima donna ish.
Yeah.
But it's sort of the wrong place to put pressure to criticize the people that are getting paid, as opposed to the owners. As opposed to, you know what I mean?
It's a bit of a chicken and egg.
Yeah.
Is it the player's fault for asking, or is it the people for saying, look, you're the best player at the club, you're the captain of England, you should be getting this.
Get as much money while you can.
Get as much money, because you could, when you think to what John Terry's been through lately, where his ankle's gone and then he got, unfortunately, booted in the head by that Arsenal defender in the Carling Cup final, where he was, not just his career, but potentially something far more serious.
Right.
It makes him think, well, maybe, it's a short career, and I need to be financially secure, but how financially secure do you have to be when I read that Michael Ballack, his home in Wimbledon, which is about a few hundred yards from the All England Tennis Club, is so big, his house has a fountain in it. And this is where it gets, where your average working person like us guys here thinks to yourself, how much money do you actually need?
Well, last time you had a discussion about the prices, how to get to the soccer games, football games.
What's it like in Germany?
And in Germany, it's still okay, the prices. But if I hear that you have to pay $50 or whatever to get only, or even 30, or
the average price at United is about £30. So well, $60.
Yeah, so that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because I think the soccer is our football. I mean,
you call it football, I mean, you'll refer to it as football.
Let's begin to name it football.
I agree with you there.
It's a sport that is, how do you call it, powered by the masses, by the people.
Absolutely.
And so it's not about an individual who's playing, it's a team.
Exactly.
So I think it's wrong to emphasize only one player, because, it's team, so.
Here's sort of a question. How much of that player's salary is sort of funded directly by
coming
to the stadium? Because if most of the money is sort of comes from the stadium by sponsorships, I would prefer to see that money going to the players than to the owners of the stadium.
Oh, I agree. In that
especially considering who just recently bought
them. Well, you could say that it's wrong for one man, my comrade Abramovich, to have so much money. And with that, I'm 39, 40 this year. He's about one or 2 years older than me. And he's worth, £11 billion?
Yeah.
And it's how? Or whose power have you increased? Or somewhere down the line. But that's one issue I wanted to talk about. On a more, slightly less serious, the Champions League, busy week in football for the Champions League.
Sure.
We've got the draw here in front of me.
Some pages there.
Yeah. And then prepared. Well, anything I'm on Valley Free Radio is prepared. AC Milan beat Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
What do you think, Frank?
Oh, exciting.
It's going to be a good game.
Yes.
How would you put your head on the block? Who do you think will win that one? If you had to pick one.
It'll be a very hard one, because Bayern has to do some thing last year.
At least can we have a winner?
They lost against Inter, right?
Yes, they did at the weekend.
And and they always have a hard time playing in Milano. So
do they?
Yeah.
All right.
So
you would go AC to shade it, or
but I think they have a good. They have a good run right now.
As an Englishman, we always say you can never bet against the German team because they will always come good.
I think they have a real chance. They have a good chance.
Well, I got to see Bayern Munich play yesterday.
Did you? Oh, really?
Yeah, they played versus Bremen, mm-hmm. and even though it was actually ended up being a draw, mm-hmm. they were definitely the dominant team on the day.
Is that when Argreaves playing?
Oh, when Argreaves was playing, he played very well.
Good.
Yeah.
Saved himself for the summer one.
And Podolski is getting here.
Yes, Podolski was in too. Yeah. And you, Pizarro, though, is looking weak.
You must have been encouraged with the way the Germans played in the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
There was something like a German team again, I guess.
Yes, so it's really something we know from, I know from the 70s, so we had a team with spirit and playing soccer and not just looking at the final result. I mean, there was an Englishman who said, was it Shearer or was it, said, well, everybody's playing soccer or football.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's playing football, but German wins.
Yeah, the Germans win. The Germans
win, but they don't play.
The Germans play to win, whereas the English still have that spirit of, well, the game, as it were, and the Germans have a winning mentality, which is what's carried them through so many tournaments. Internationally and domestically. Quickly, PSV Eindhoven versus Liverpool.
Well, I think Liverpool, the way they looked, even though they ended up losing to Barcelona 1-0 at Anfield midweek, the display that they put on, especially for the first 70 or so minutes, was so strong.
I would take them, they're on a roll in Europe.
Yeah.
Well, I'm biased, I think they're on a roll. I think we will just sneak it against Roma. Chelsea Valencia.
Well, I hate Chelsea.
Well, enough said.
Yeah.
That's the right answer.
I can't stand them. I like some of the players individually, but just the whole spirit of the club is disgusting.
It stinks.
Yeah.
Absolutely stinks.
And my favorite players, I actually really enjoy watching Joe Cole.
Joe Cole is a very talented footballer, has been since the age of 12 or 13.
That's right. Yeah, I saw him when he was my first couple of years playing for West Ham.
Mm-hmm.
He was 17, 18, right? Uh-huh. And that was actually an amazing West Ham team to watch back
and
then.
And you think the players that they had.
Yeah, Canute and De Canio and Frank Lampard,
Yeah.
Played for West Ham.
You know his dad played for West Ham.
Is that true?
Yes. Frank Lampard Sr.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. See, I didn't know that.
There you go.
Well, I think that marks the end.
No problem.
All right, but don't go away, though. Because it might be a little time for, you can't hear it.
It's coming along to hear even right now.
All right. That's another time for Ask Frank. And Frank, I'm actually posing a question today, and any of you are invited to be included in this, but it's the Ask Frank segment, so this is the question. There's a slight anecdote behind it, and that's in, March of 2000, okay, right about 7 years ago, this next week, I went to England to visit, and I visited London, and I went to a football game. My first ever football game was between, I think, maybe Queen's Park Rangers or Crystal Palace and Fulham at Craven Cottage back when they were a Division I team. And I went to the game, and at one point, Fulham earned a penalty kick. And this penalty kick was taken by Karl-Heinz Riedel.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of tension in the air because I think if they had scored the goal, it would have been a go-ahead goal. But Karl-Heinz Riedel missed the penalty kick. Wasn't saved, he just missed it. Missed the goal. And an English gentleman next to me, who had been nothing but polite during the entire game, as
a very sensitive irony,
he said, he's German! He missed it because he's German!
Did he say it with a Scottish accent?
Well, so anyway, my question to you, Frank, and to the panel,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
is, did Karl-Heinz Riedel miss that penalty kick because he's German?
No, of course not.
Yes!
We because we have, I mean, we have in Germany a real good history of winning, and especially in penalties. And if some German guys not doing it right, this, especially the penalties, I mean, we will remember this forever. It was in 76, I still remember it. I was a kid. Uli Hoeneß had...
Oli Hoeneß against Czechoslovakia.
Czechoslovakia, then. There was a penalty, and Uli Hoeneß had it in his hand, not to win, but to just...
That was to win the final, wasn't it?
To win the final.
Yeah.
And it was going into the sky. And, I mean, we appreciate in Germany, Uli Hoeneß as a big manager, as a kind of person who has different, very different sides. But, so he's a very interesting person, man. And he wins. And
he said some very interesting comments about Ross Beckham recently, didn't he?
Oh, I didn't get that.
Like, yeah, he thinks David's wonderful, thinks he's a cracking footballer.
Yeah.
But he can't do with it. It's not by the death of football comes from Mrs. Beckham and her like.
What do you call them?
The wags.
The wags, all right.
Wives and girlfriends.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so a follow-up question, though. So you don't think he did it because he's German, but is a possibility that his Germanic roots, that he missed the penalty kick?
Because he's an English player in England.
Well, maybe that. But did he do it despite the Fulham fans? Because maybe Karl-Heinz Riedel's whole career was built up just so he would someday play for Fulham in England.
He was a big Polycarp piece.
Yeah, exactly. His whole career was just to lead up to this one penalty kick so he could...
To blame them, too.
Despite them. You think that's a possibility, Phil?
Well, I thought it's in his mentality to do this. It's something that the Germans win.
Yeah.
They don't know how... I mean, well, classic case in point. When we got knocked out by Portugal in the World Cup.
Yes, I remember that.
I thought you might.
Yeah.
The only English player to score in the penalties was...
Owen Hargreaves.
And who does he play for?
He plays for Germany.
He plays for the German team.
Yeah.
So, it was... In defence of France, I would say that when a German misses a penalty, it's news.
Yeah. What about when Frank Lampard misses a penalty?
It's not news, basically. It's all, well, here we go again. It's another penalty shootout, another classic. We tend to glorify losers. The glorious defeat.
Oh, right, the manly defeat.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie the Eagle Edwards at the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
He came bottom. He was a national hero. Oh, wonderful. He was on TV doing the national lottery draw.
Wow. Does this go back to a sense of, because I know when football started, there was this, especially the English, championed the idea of the amateur. The gentleman amateur player.
Correct.
At the establishment of the FA and the Football League. And even this was slow going just because the people who played it were part of the elite and they believed in the real identity of the amateur.
The people, basically, the football in England was a working man's pastime. Mm-hmm. The game was run by... It wasn't deemed to be the gentleman's sport. Rugby was the gentleman's sport.
Oh, right.
It was a case of the elite were Mr. So-and-so, whereas a working class man plays rugby, and the ethos has always been, it's something ingrained, it's not the winning, it's the taking part that counts.
Right.
And that's why we don't win many tournaments, because subconsciously it's still at the bottom, deep within the mindset, whereas the Americans will love winners. Correct.
Well,
in sport, the Germans sort of like to fancy ourselves as being able to win anything.
Yeah,
we rarely do. World Cup. The Germans, I think Bill Shankly summed it up well when he said, "Winning is everything; anything else is nothing."
Yeah, I mean, I think it's less extreme than probably here in the United States, but still, where we know we can do good, And football, yeah. So
there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance, isn't there?
Yeah.
And if you're confident, it shows and you'll win.
Like when we're, I mean, this, or when in 98, for example, when we had a bad team, we had this Rumble Fizzle team. And, I mean, you can't expect a lot. And what we hate is just if a team is unprofessionally led or has no spirit. So there was nothing. Well, they lost. They were bad. They lost. So what?
You expect. But when you've got a good side, as you know, as I think you have at the moment,
and a good spirit,
and there's a good team spirit. Yeah. I think. Do you think Klinsmann? Do you wish Klinsmann stayed in the job?
Yeah, I wished. Because he shows his spirit and positive thinking, and there was a lot of criticism before he did the job, and I don't blame him for doing this. But I think he brought in a new spirit, and it's amazing. I mean, his spirit keeps
he's still there.
Which
is good. I mean, I know when he came to England in '94 when he joined Tottenham, I thought. Everybody's like, oh, here we go, typical German diver. But he endeared himself to the British public. He took the public transport. He didn't drive in a flash car. He drove. He went on an old VW Beetle around London. I thought it was great. Hats off to him. Yeah, I think he's a good man.
I heard he's doing very well there.
Yeah, he did. He was fantastic. His first goal celebration, he dived.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I think we're going to have the soccer stalker with us. Stay tuned. This is the Goal Soccer Show. And I'm glad to tell when the guys are over and they come up the gun, they're the people that are going to hell. They're the people that are going to hell.
Real World Documentary Film Series presents 9/11 Myths and Reality, Wednesday, March 14th, 7 p.m. Noted Christian theologian David Ray Griffin provides a carefully constructed indictment of the Bush-Cheney White House, arguing they themselves conspired to generate the events of 9/11. Among the work of the many emerging conspiracy theorists, Griffin's work is the most reasoned and convincing. Alarming and challenging, this film posits a perspective important for us to know about. For information, call 625-6708. 9/11 Myths and Reality. Wednesday, March 14th, 7 p.m. at the Arms Library, Bridge Street, Shelburne Falls.
As opposed to factual-based questions, because Eddie ended up knocking those out of the park, kind of annoyingly.
The most fun area to be in, and actually I would miss this. I, out in this, and it's the same thing when I go to concerts here. So people are sitting in a rock concert, a punk concert. He gave you pop, or like, I wanted to buy a ticket in Boston, and there's like contingencies and like gallery and sitting here, sitting there. No.
No, you don't sit down at a concert.
It's not an Iggy Pop concert.
No. From an English point of view, I would say the stadiums now are the best they've ever been. However, as somebody who remembers standing up at Old Trafford, the atmosphere is nowhere near as good now as it used to be.
Well, no, I know. I listen sometimes to World Soccer Daily, which is another podcast with two ex-Brits, mm-hmm. or still Brits, but living in California.
Okay.
And
those two, Nick and
Nick
Chelsea, and that Chelsea and Liverpool.
They were suggesting that they like the idea of standing up, but they don't trust people enough. I think as soon as you introduce standing back into the game, that violence is going to come right back with it.
I would agree with that to a certain extent, yes.
Okay.
Because we have, we still have drinking laws, which mean that you have to cram everything in. The mentality is, you get a drink, and then you're going into the game, and you're standing, and there's all kinds of potential for trouble. I would agree with that, yeah. I'm glad the stadiums are the way they are now. The facilities are 1,000 times better than what they were 20-odd years ago when I first started going United, but I miss standing up in a football match.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to tell, and normally you can have your beer during the game, and generally you can buy it everywhere.
Can you take it into the... When you buy it in the concourse, can you take it into...
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Nice. I'm not impressed.
Oh, the Germans, you going to separate them from their beer?
It's like separating us from our beer, believe me.
Yeah.
But that's a good question.
Yeah. So, no definitive answers, Mom, but I guess of the two evils, Eddie, you're coming down the side of, you like the sort of, not necessarily the atmosphere, but the facilities are better than you.
Oh, 1,000 times better.
All right, Mom, how's that feel? Mom, you got that?
And safer, right?
Safer, I agree, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Okay.
As a mother, yeah, concerned.
Football is becoming a violent game. Should FIFA bring new rules and regulations?
FIFA.
FIFA, yes.
Right.
Should
they bring new rules and regulations concerning, you mean on the pitch?
It says not just in the game, but also inside the fan zone.
If football is a contact sport, always has been, and it always will, or hopefully always will be. It's going from one extreme to the other, whereas how old are you, Frank, if you're not asking?
41.
So we're of a similar age, right? So we remember when the players used to get tackled in a way that would leave them crippled, basically. Yeah, so I mean, somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But that aspect has cleaned the game up. That was needed, but now, as with most things, when it's been at one extreme, the pendulum is now swinging too fast towards the other direction. When goalkeepers, you can't breathe on the goalkeeper without the referee blowing for a free kick and waving a yellow card at
them. Right. Well, I remember even I don't know if you remember the penalty. When the U.S. was playing Ghana in the World Cup, and Oguchi Onyewu was called for a penalty for just bumping up against the guy essentially in the penalty box, and he said, "Well, come on."
Yeah, well, I don't think I know soccer or the football in the past, and we had some very horrible scenes. I still remember one. I don't want to get into detail. And
what was his name?
Evelyn from Borussia Mönchengladbach. And it was in a Bundesliga game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it probably was a coincidence, but he ended up with having, like, his leg, like, flesh.
Yeah, it's something out of a horror film.
Yeah. So
that's a great movie.
Yeah, that's still pretty famous in Germany. But I think soccer football is not a violent game.
No, it's not a violent game.
But maybe what this question represents, though, is not necessarily that the game itself has become more violent, but that our tolerance for violence has changed. And I think Nick brought this up a couple weeks ago when, you know, when he was responding to Carlos, when he was talking to Carlo, now they've broken up. But, you know, you essentially said that violence in itself is not necessarily a bad thing. It's only, but violence is bad for business.
Yeah, violence is bad for business. And, I mean, the history of where soccer came from before the 1900s, I mean, talking about, like, the 1300s and 1400s.
Oh, yeah.
It was the biggest part of it was the sort of
free-for-all.
Yeah, the mass free-for-all aspect of the competitive violence between neighboring groups.
I mean, there's one big ball and maybe two towns are playing, and they'd be... Yeah, that was stupid.
But I think because it's become such a world sport, it becomes more... The only way to make it palatable to people is to reduce the amount of violence, because people are thinking of who are the people that are actually paying to watch this and who are the sponsors for this thing.
Correct.
I don't think that the violence is any more now than it has been.
Yeah, I agree. Regardless of footballers, and they will always have passion.
Absolutely.
And that passion manifests itself in a lot of ways, whether it's a drive, commitment to win, or...
And I think you can kind of over-regulate it. Like, if a person who is goaling and then he puts off his shirt, he gets the yellow card.
That's stupid.
I mean, wow, he's so happy about that goal, and come on, I mean...
Or he's right to the crowd. If he celebrates with his own, if he scores at the end where his own fans are.
Well, did you see Carlos Tevez last week?
Yes, I did.
And it was, to be honest, the celebration brought tears to my eyes.
It was wonderful. It's his first goal for the club, a controversial transfer.
Right.
And he's finally scored. At the end of the day, they just want to play football and win and make the fans happy.
Right.
And he did that. And he gets a yellow card.
And where do you stand on this issue of violence? Because I know that, I mean, I would just like to guess by your parenting style, that you'd be pro-violence. Sorry, I should bring that up. But at least insults, yeah, at least verbal insults in here.
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't understand what happened. Somebody took their shirt off and they got a penalty?
They got a yellow card. It's clusters. It's excessive celebration, incitement to riot.
Yeah.
Incitement to riot. Yes, it's a good cause provocation.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
It's true.
Like in American football, you know, they started penalizing guys for doing the dance and stuff in the end zone.
Yeah, I know, which is
ridiculous.
No, ridiculous. It's a sport, and it's about feelings and passion.
Absolutely. And, I agree with you, my friend.
And you have to share this passion with the audience. Yeah. And
it's a team-orientated thing, and you want to share.
Right.
If you didn't want to share and be part of it, you'd be...
It's not a video game.
Yeah.
All right, Mom, you got one more for us? What?
Yeah, this is an opinion one, too.
Okay.
But I can also afterwards tell you what this particular individual had for an answer. Is who is the most overrated Premiership club?
In England.
Most overrated club in England.
Well, Chelsea.
And no, next question.
Chelsea's so weird because you watch them play, and they have a completely different style, because, you know, Man U, Liverpool, Arsenal all play a rather aesthetically pleasing style.
Correct.
Chelsea, and, you know, no offense to Michael Ballack, Frank, but the only ever time that they say Ballack's name is when he's just kicked someone in the shins.
Oh, well, the last time he goaled.
Yeah, he's
good.
They just are ugly to watch. Yeah. They're big. I mean, they're huge, fast men. They're big galoots. But at the end of the day, they're just really terrible to watch, but they win, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is it luck that they're winning, or is it just because... I mean, they play this terrible. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
same time that I do. Now, once upon a time, I used to quite... I didn't mind Chelsea.
Well, it's not necessarily Chelsea itself. It's
the whole environment that's surrounding the club. Yeah. It's Politburo that runs the damn place, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this sort of represents some of the worst things in terms of foreign ownership and, you know, just mass amounts of money being...
I want to rest up. They'll buy anybody and everybody as long as they're deemed better than anybody else. Right, we'll have them so other clubs can't have them.
Right.
And then don't play them, hardly.
All right, well, Mom, what was the answer that this gentleman gave?
Chelsea.
All right.
The question is avatar, as his name is Manu for Eva.
Uh-oh.
This is a very intelligent man. This sounds like a very intelligent man. Can you make that a few questions? Did you write in that question? Oh, I think you actually like that question.
All right, Mom. Yeah, it sounds like you're going to have to pee yourself. So, listen, Mom, thank you very much for participating. I guess we'll talk to you maybe 2 weeks' time, because I actually have to tell the audience what to expect for next week right now, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, love you, Mom. Thank you for calling in.
I love you, too, honey. Bye.
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 That was my mom again. Another installment of the Marco Stalkers.
Good segment.
Yeah, it's always fun. Now, we have a couple minutes left. I want to just talk about the week ahead, what to expect in terms of games and also in terms of the soccer shows so that our audience is prepared.
Okay.
Next week, or in the middle of this week, I will be going to England.
I'll have a pint for me.
Don't worry, I'll have a couple pints for you.
Where are you going?
Well, I'm going to be visiting Brighton.
Oh.
And what goes along with that is that I will be visiting, I'll be able to attend an English match between Brighton Hove Albion and Scunthorpe.
Scunthorpe.
All right, but it'll be next Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern.
And then on a second note, you're seeing your girlfriend.
All right, I will be seeing
her. I'll be there
while I'm in town. But
is she French? Is she American?
She's American.
What's she doing over there?
She's been teaching English to little Frenchies down near Marseille.
Right.
Yeah. So that's been fun. But we're meeting in England. We're going to go down to Brighton just because it's not too far from Gatwick and maybe a little cheaper than London.
Although it's considerably cheaper, probably. Yeah. Not as I've been to Brighton, but...
Right.
I have been there.
You've been to Brighton?
Yes. In 81. I was beaten up by an English woman. I was 6. I don't have the best memories of
Brighton, to be honest.
No, what should I expect? Is there any sort of club culture surrounding Brighton that I need to know?
Gambling, all of gambling there.
Yeah.
It's a pretty happening place by all accounts.
But what about the club? Yeah. What about Scunthorpe? Either one?
Kevin Keegan started his football career with Scunthorpe.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Frank loves Kevin Keegan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Hamburg.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was where he started his career.
Scunthorpe.
Scunthorpe United. I did Ray Clements.
Hmm. So take that, Frank.
Fatboy Slim. You never seen the Fatboy Slim?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm sure. I don't know if he still does, but he used to sponsor them.
Brighton?
Yeah. Skint.
Oh, yeah.
The record label.
Oh, is that right?
English, Skint is the English for no money.
So that's changing my image of Brighton a little bit.
Yeah. Which is good. They're on the verge of getting their own stadium again because they've been a bit nomadic themselves.
Oh, is that right?
They've been playing at some hockey ground or something.
Well,
yeah.
Is that where I'll be watching them?
I don't know. Are they at home? They used to have, the ground originally was the Goldstone ground.
Okay.
But they've been a bit nomadic these last few years. So, but they have been given the go-ahead to get their own stadium. And the TV presenter, Des Lynam, who narrates this DVD.
That you are holding, the Champions League history.
Is a big fan of Brighton and Hove Albion.
Oh, okay, well, good. Well, now I know what to expect. Now, another thing that our audience should expect is that in the hot seat over here next week, will be Mr. Eddie Kennedy. And Eddie Kennedy will try to give the show, against some respectability.
Pull it up by the bootstrings.
And what are the chances that Happy, do you have any plans for next week?
I'll be working on it this week. I'll entitle the show Match of the Day in honor of the greatest football highlights program there's ever been. I've got the theme tune on a CD at home.
All right.
It's going to be Match of the
Day. I think some of our Golden Soccer Show correspondents have offered their help.
Anybody's in here, more the merrier.
Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds exciting. And I also wanted to highlight a couple games.
Go for it.
That are going on this week. Midweek is a game that I'm particularly excited to see, which is Villa versus Arsenal. Now, all these are from the neutral perspective, mind you. But this is midweek. This is Wednesday, 3:45 p.m. And in particular, I mean, I love Arsenal. I love to watch them. But I'm excited about Aston Villa, the sort of triumvirate they have up front between John Carew,
That's a big tall Norwegian centre forward, done travel around Europe.
The Black Viking, they call
it. Black Viking, yes.
Ashley Young, who's a great young English player.
He's an up-and-coming player, yeah.
And then Bondahor, who's the same deal.
Who was born spitting distance from the ground. I've been to Villa Park.
Is that right?
It's a lovely ground.
Okay.
Up and down form this season. Villa started off right under Martin O'Neill, who was king of kings at Celtic. But hopefully he'll sort it all out, have a chance to really put things right in the summer. Especially with Mr. Randy Lerner.
And his money.
Sounds like a 70s porn star now.
Yeah, all right. Well, it looks like we've used up all our time. You've listened to Golden Soccer Show on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP 103.3 FM. Anyone got any final parting comments?
Enjoy your football this week, listeners.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the time with Eddie. So,
my pleasure meeting you, Frank.
Yes, I don't know if I can make next week because my wife is coming, my daughter, but...
Week after, great. We'll carry on.
Great show.
Next talk.
No, go.
Thanks for listening for Golden.